Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of the Scratch Track Podcast, presented by the Dune Grim Show and co-produced by Mr. IVEST. I'm Dune.
And I'm Grim. And today we're going to be talking about a little concert took place on June 11th, 2023 by a little band that goes by the name of King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, taking place at the Salt Shed in Chicago, Illinois.
Illinois. The S is silent.
Yeah.
So there's that. Well, this was our first time at the Salt Shed. I used to live in Chicago many years ago, and it was not around. But I really, first off, just loved the venue.
Oh,
I
thought it was a
great, great place. I mean, the weather sucked, but the venue was great.
Yeah, it was interesting. For having seen them in Colorado in October last fall,
first resurrection,
it's so funny because it was actually warmer then than it was in June in Chicago, which does not make any sense, but it happened. But regardless of that, they delivered.
They did.
And it was an interesting show. I got to see some stuff that I hadn't seen. There was a couple things that I would have been... A
couple of repeats.
Yeah, a couple of repeats. They're really getting into playing the river a lot, which I like, but for three shows, I've seen it at all three of them. With what is described here as the elongated Grateful Dead style jam, which certainly was just that. But it is one of my favorite songs there, so it's kind of hard to complain about it. But it's just, you know, come on, man, Mr. Beat. I was hoping for Mr. Beat so bad that they were going to go into it after Evil Death Roll, but.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because I know, you know, leading up to this show, it's one of those things that, at least for me, I look at previous set lists, what they're playing and everything. Like we had a good idea. This was a couple of days. The new album coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah. The new album came out this Friday. So we're like, oh, man, are they going to play the whole thing? No, I didn't expect that. But they did play two tracks from it. We got Motor Spirit. Minus the introduction. And then we also got Witchcraft.
Now, I liked with Motor Spirit how they kind of looped. And then they went from Motor Spirit into the Great Chain of Being and then kind of looped back in Gaia.
Yes.
That was cool. It was interesting how they divided it up because they started with like a mini set of microtonal stuff, which you knew based on the guitars that they came out. You knew that was how it was going to start. And then they went into metal and then they just kind of played a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's cool, man, because they do that. I mean, they did that towards the end, too. You know, when they were doing what Boogeyman Sam is what they ended up playing. And we were like. That's the interesting thing is like whenever I go to a concert, you know, usually it's a band and they just play a song and, you know, that's the song, you know, but the way they play is it's a lot like their albums where they're kind of going in and out of things. I mean, even on their albums, they'll go back into like little parts and like tease things that they had like earlier in albums and everything. And they do the same thing live. And it's really a lot of fun because then you're like, your ears pick up on that and you're like, oh, whoa, are they going like fully into the song or are they teasing it? Yeah. Like what's, you know, kind of what's happening. And it's just a lot of fun to kind of have that in a show because, you know, I'm always like, oh, what are they going to play next? What are they going to do? And it's
when you got 23 albums to choose from. I mean, it's really, it's a roll of the dice, like one of those 20 sided die. I really thought the Boogeyman Sam bit was cool because I've actually never heard them do a cover before, but they threw in like bits of covers. So Got My Mojo Working, Cutthroat Boogie, and then Going Up the Country by Canned Heat, which was cool. And Ambrose really shined on that one.
I mean, he shined throughout the whole show.
Yeah, but Joey. I mean, there especially. But dude, I wish they would have played more of Head on Pill. That was awesome. And the Dripping Tap. But just the way they did it and concluded it all. I got the feeling that there was probably a curfew, so to speak, because it was kind of in a more residential area. And it was a Sunday night.
Yes, it was a Sunday night. I imagine they had to be done there at 10,
yeah.
Which was interesting because we had the opener go on. I forget what time.
Really
and
early.
Then, you know, yeah. And then I had looked, though, at some other set lists and like what time King Gizzard had been going on. I'm like, man, either the opener's going to play really like an extended set, or we're going to have a huge gap in between the opener and when they start. But then all of a sudden they got done, and the opener got done, and it must have been like maybe 20 minutes,
yeah.
if that.
And they just came on. There was no, they just kind of casually walked on, and, you know, of course, everybody went nuts.
Well, and it was cool, too, because I was like, man, because it was cold, it was rainy. And, you know, that doesn't mean I wasn't excited and that wasn't help keep me warm. But I was like, man, if I got to kind of like stand out here for another like hour or two before they start, like, so I felt like they were kind of also doing people a favor. Like, yeah, let's get this show going.
Yep.
But one thing also with the show is at the Salt Shed, just if people are going to go there, or I imagine they'll play there again. They have an outdoor and an indoor space. Initially, when we got tickets, it was supposed to be indoor, and the indoor space looked huge. Like it did look really, really, you know, really big. So,
but then they decided, venue's awesome.
Yeah, they decided to move to the outdoor, and you got the city like in the background and everything.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It was, yeah. So definitely a great venue, and it sounds like they're continuing to upgrade things there. But bathroom situation was good. And drinks and stuff were good.
And if you make the mistake of bringing in your metal water bottle empty, which they won't let you do, you can actually just leave it at will call with your name on it, and they will give it back to you. It was really nice. I mean,
dude, that is really nice, because most places are like, yeah, tough shit.
Yep.
And then go stuff it in a bush or behind the fifth pillar in the third row of, you know, the parking lot.
And hope nobody pisses in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hope that.
So what are your highlights from the show, dude?
I mean, you know, going into it, again, I always go and look at previous set lists and like what they're going to play and everything. And I was actually one overall just really surprised. This to me seemed like a little bit different of a set list of the songs that I expected to hear stuff from the new album. And I thought we would hear more than just a tease from the Dripping Tap, because, you know, they play that frequently. The one song I did want to hear like going into it was Gaia, and this version, the great thing about it was dedicated to John Mayer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I think they said it, they said I couldn't hear some of that stuff because but at the same point, it was a great level when everybody was playing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you could hear everything in that sense, but it became kind of tough sometimes when they were just talking.
Yeah.
But
in between songs.
I read that it was dedicated to John Mayer, the guitar slayer, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, maybe that's just a joke or something. Yeah,
that would be my guess.
I don't know if they're like buddies with him and, you know, he's going to be opening for them on their next tour. Probably not.
Something tells me he wouldn't really relate to their music, which is too bad because his is not as cool. No offense.
I'm taken.
There's
Yeah, I mean, I think I was surprised at some of the things. I guess I was more surprised at what they didn't play. Like, we got nothing off Polygon Dwanaland. We got
see that run twice. So I would have loved Crumbling Castle. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but I know. You know, we didn't get anything off Nonagon Infinity. Well, we got one off Nonagon Infinity, one off Omnium, which is Gaia. But then, like, even Butterfly 3000, I was kind of hoping that they were going to play something off that, because they have been playing Shanghai at a few shows. Nothing off Changes either, which I saw they've been playing a track or two. So, it was great, full energy show, really loved it. I mean, if you look at, you know, on a Setlist.fm, everything, I mean, they cover a lot of albums.
Oh, yeah.
We got stuff, Fishing for Fishies, Microtonal, Banana, Gumboat Soup, I'm in Your Mind Fuzz, like Ice Death. Like, they cover a whole, you know, whole, a variety of gamut. Albums and everything. Yeah. So like, they run the gamut. They do. Yeah. What about you, Trim? Did anything stand out?
I liked how they called up an audience member to have him sing the nuclear fusion. That was, dude, that was cool that they did that.
Yeah.
And I really like that song too.
It was weird when they were doing it though, because I was like, wait,
what's going on?
What's going on here?
But I thought that was cool. Like, dude, that's going to make that guy's freaking night for sure. Yeah. Satan Speeds Up was cool because I didn't expect to hear that one. Of course, dude, Trapdoor. I could hear Trapdoor every time. And this version was a little heavier. Because the album that it's on, it's mainly acoustic.
I felt like this whole show is really heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was a really good show.
Magma
was good. Yeah, I actually like Magma more than Lava. And I remember, I think, in maybe both of the other shows, they did a really long extended jam of Lava. But I prefer Magma myself.
Yes.
And of course, dude, the ending was great. But I would go again. I have a hard time. It's like you're not going to have a bad time at the show. It's awesome.
No. Yeah. Well, and I think one thing, too, is so they didn't do like any sort of an encore or anything.
I don't think they could because they ended at 10 to 10.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was like right pushing up on 10. And I just imagine that's when the curfew was. But at the same time, I know a lot of people, it's become such a staple. Like sometimes you have bands coming out like three times and everything. But they're just like, hey, we're just going to play balls to the wall for like 2 hours and we hope that's good enough for you. And it is like, you know, I don't need you to walk off the stage, take a 10-minute break and then come back on and keep playing. If you know, I mean, just keep playing, you know, just
take a drink of water. So,
what the fuck is that shit?
But yeah, definitely. We'd love to hear.
Catch him on the residency tour.
Yes, I'd love to hear some other people who maybe saw them in Chicago, what your experience was like, but also some of the other shows and everything. And are you guys excited for the new album? Have they been playing more from the new album now that it's released?
Yeah.
You know, so
I think they do a good job mixing it in. I mean, you can't just do all that because you got so much else.
That's so much stuff, man. So much.
Like, subscribe, and comment below.
So,
all right.
Anyways.
Time to go.
Dude and Grim Show.
Scratch and Track is produced by the Dude and Grim. Additional music provided by Moore and the Tings. Copyright 2023. The Dude and Grim Show.